I wish I could say that I was shocked, but mostly I was just appalled by what came out. We knew going in that under DeVos, choice and vouchers were going to be heavily pushed. And in fact, we see that to the tune of around $1.4 billion in the budget. And the joke is that they're going to build excellent private schools, but they're going to have public schools pay for them. So the cuts of around $9.2 billion to public education is just terrifying when we know that schools are already underfunded.
Well, we'll talk about Colorado specifically because, as we keep saying, Colorado is chronically underfunding public education and has been for many years. But if we keep talking really about the federal budget for the moment, particularly this issue of choice, because choice as a term in and of itself seems a positive thing. Well, who wouldn't want choice? But what does choice mean when it comes to education and really what's at stake?
Historically, choice came about as a response to Brown v. Board and was another way for parents to seek out segregated schools. And in fact, many places where we see school choice, we see that that is the pattern, that schools become increasingly segregated along racial and socioeconomic lines. And the other issue with choice as a term is that not everyone really has the choice. Access to the information about schools requires a lot of social capital from parents. Many of the choice schools don't provide things like transportation. So parents who can't take the time and don't have the resources to transport their children to and from school really don't have the choice of sending their children to a given school. And we also see that a lot of schools counsel out, they will call it, students who have, for example, special needs, because those students are going to be more expensive to educate and will take more time. And so they would prefer to have students who are easier to push along through the grades.
So we're really seeing all of this play out in the form of charter schools, which are essentially publicly funded. So they are being supported by the public coffers, but they are under the auspices of all of these mechanisms that you said, not necessarily providing transportation, being more selective in terms of the students that they get.
Correct.
So who are the losers then when it comes to choice and when it comes to, say, the growth of charter schools or the voucher system? And we'll talk about that and how that's related, because Colorado has really been a central focal point of voucher systems as well. But who are the losers typically in this?
Those with the fewest resources already are the ones who absolutely lose out. So low-income families, their children lose out. And often and increasingly, we're seeing that folks who are working to move into middle class are finding that that is a steeper and steeper climb.
So if people are sending their kids to their local public school, they don't always have the resources to drive their children to maybe the popular charter school, if we're talking about choice.
Correct. And what we see happening is we talk a lot about peer effects. So having the students in the classroom who bring in those resources, when those students are removed, the students who are left behind suffer.
And then, of course, when we have schools and teachers and their funding being very closely tied with performance, that's obviously got to have a big impact as well. If we're going to see maybe some of the higher achieving students who have more resources in their families going to being selected off or going self-selectively to charter schools, and you have maybe underperforming students who are in a different demographic, that could ultimately then, I suppose, impact the funding of the school?
Absolutely. So because everything is increasingly tied to test scores, which are heavily correlated with parent income and resources, as we're pushing that system increasingly while removing the top performing students, we're placing a heavier burden on teachers and schools and then tying that also to additional resources.
What are vouchers and how are they related to this conversation?
So vouchers are another way of pushing choice, and they expand the choice in theory by allowing public funds to be used to pay for private schools. What we see actually happening, though, is the families who could already afford to send their children to private schools are receiving some of the funding that would have otherwise benefited students in public schools. But folks who could not previously afford private schools still can't, either because the voucher is not enough money to afford the good schools, or because the schools can now raise their tuition and continue on in that pattern.
So essentially, it's subsidizing higher income families
to take their children out of public schools.
We've seen this locally here in Colorado in Douglas County. There was a big controversy around vouchers being used then for religious schools.
Right. So we have in Colorado what is commonly referred to as a Blaine Amendment. And it says that we should not use public funds to directly or indirectly support sectarian or religious institutions. And so that is the barrier and the question here in Colorado, is whether vouchers can be used for religious schools.
Tell us about Title I, because Title I of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, that was where the federal government was until this proposed budget, was spending $16 billion a year on public schools, providing extra resources for some of the low-income students. Tell us a little bit more about Title I and its fate now under this proposed budget.
Right. So in theory, Title I is being mostly level funded compared to the continuing resolution for 2017. But what we see now is that there are pushing $1 billion to provide supplemental awards to school districts that agree to adopt weighted student funding combined with open enrollment systems. So basically, school choice and the money follows the child to the school that they choose.
So this gets back to maybe the voucher system and the choice conversation that we just had, that choice is very loaded and not every family has the same choice as others.
Right. So what we anticipate is we'll start seeing some very heavily resourced schools with this. Now, the Title I funds are limited to public schools, and we don't know exactly how that $1 billion is going to be divvied up among states and districts that participate. The voucher system that they're really pushing is they're adding another $250 million for research that supports the conclusions that vouchers are a good idea, which, interestingly enough, we have four new studies out of DC, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Louisiana that all show that students who received vouchers actually performed poorly on all of these measures of academic achievement that we talk about. So the research is in and it says vouchers don't work, but now they're pushing money in the budget specifically to support research to find that vouchers do work.
In terms of those who are most impacted, we've talked about the losers very often in the choice scenario. It's people who are in under-resourced families, people who don't have the resources to drive their child maybe to a charter school, or because public transport or because transportation isn't provided, or very often those schools won't allow in some of the kids with more challenges. In terms of those kids, this new budget proposes about $4 billion in cuts to literacy programs for students with disabilities with limited English proficiency and after school and summer programs. Tell us about the schools that will be most directly impacted by these cuts and the services that they perform outside of just being a regular, you know, institute of education.
Right. So one of the programs that we see eliminated is the 21st Century Community Schools program. And those programs, those schools typically provided before and after school programs for the kinds of enrichment that wealthier parents are able to pay for to provide to their students. They provided nutritious services. They provided healthcare, eye screenings, dental exams before and after school so that parents didn't have to pay for childcare, which we all know will eat up your entire income and is incredibly expensive. So those programs being cut means that these parents will no longer literally be able to afford to work because they need to care for their child. So we'll see children potentially being pushed into less than ideal child care situations.
When we look at a state like Colorado, there have been endless reports about how we are chronically underfunding public education and have been for years. How do you see the federal budget impacting schools here?
Already under-resourced schools are going to be even more under-resourced. The schools who have strong resources locally will probably be able to make do, but the places who have relied on Title I funds, for example, or who are providing those wraparound services are going to have to cut somewhere. And unfortunately, that always falls on the back of the children who have the fewest resources.